Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, another week. Good one right here in Jacksonville. Putting the PGA Championship coming up just a couple of days. Bethpage Black. Tiger, a winner in 2002. Hasn't played since the Masters. Interesting, if you think about it, the strategy here. Not to play any golf, going from major to major. And, of course, things have changed up along the PGA Tour in a year. Typically on this Monday, we would be reliving the players, talking about just how great it was all week long, seeing all the pink dresses and everything out there on a Mother's Day that had become kind of tradition here in Northeast Florida. But, of course, they dropped it on us this year in March. So this time around, we'll have it the PGA Championship moving up into the rotation. And that'll be this week and smack dab in the middle of the month of May. Getting pretty excited about it. I feel like I've taken a few weeks off in the world of golf. Caught a little bit of it here and there. But some of these other tournaments just don't really do it for me. Certainly the PGA Championship does. So it'll be interesting. And it's been cool weather along New York and, you know, the East Coast. So what is that going to do for the fairways? What is that going to do for the greens? Yeah, look at some of the scores, even going back to what we had around here, where I really think they took complete advantage of the players in year one, almost to the point where, I don't want to use the word embarrassment, but, I mean, it was like the John Deere Classic. You had guys pin hunting, you had guys scoring and scoring and scoring, and, you know, I'm one of those who likes to see the golf course win. There are certain events each and every year where I want to see the golf course win. And one of those is right here at the Players Championship. And I thought this past year was really a disappointment. As great as the tournament was, the excitement of that Sunday was as great as any golf tournament that I had ever seen. But the scores were too low. And I understand that the golf course has to learn how to get back into shape with the grass that they changed a couple of years ago and, you know, maybe not getting the rain and cutting the rough perhaps a little bit too much more than they wanted to. We'll see what happens next year, but I think absolutely this golf course played so much more difficult. It was such a more difficult golf course to play in the month of May compared to what we saw in the month of March, but we'll see what happens here. Bethpage Black. A couple of guests coming up a little bit later on this week. Certainly have a whole heck of a lot of fun as that begins on Thursday. All right, Bob Seger at the top. Great to see a lot of you folks out last night. What a great show. I mean, Bob just brings it. He has a lot of fun. 74 years of age, still running around stage, doing his deal. You know, comes out with a black T-shirt and a pair of blue jeans. Nothing too flashy. The best part of his night was actually a cover that he did in remembrance of some great artists who have left us as of late. Pictures of him and Glenn Frey of the Eagles way back when, Tom Petty, Prince, even going way, way back, showing Dwayne Allman. Just really a nice little gesture by Bob Seger, who it seems like we have all these old acts who come through. And it's always the finale, that this is our last tour. And, you know, how much do you really believe that? I think it adds a little bit of a spice to the ticket that, yeah, you want to go see a show like that because you don't know if you ever get that opportunity. Well, I really felt like last night was the last time that you're going to see Bob Seger. But he had a 16-man and woman operation working last night with the background vocals. Four guys on guitar, saxophone player, organist, percussionist, piano player. Just hit them all. And what a great night. Man, the venue, perfect temperature. I'm guessing by the time he took the stage last night, it was probably 80 degrees. And it was just absolutely phenomenal with the breeze coming in at the Daly's Place. What a great Sunday night here in Jacksonville. So a lot of good shows lately down there. You know, Kenny Chesney, not a huge country fan, but I went to that concert. That was certainly electrifying. Rockville last week. My goodness, Judas Priest at the age of 70, bringing it along with The Cult and Rob Zombie and all that. Then Bob Seger last week. Some more good shows ahead of us, including the Trucks Tedeschi Band or Tedeschi Trucks Band. I've been texting with Derek. He's back from London. They had some shows out there. He said that Susan, after the draft, they were doing a show one night out there. And there were a lot of Jaguar fans in attendance in London seeing the Tedeschi Trucks Band. And Susan had a little bit of a shout-out to the Jaguar London fan base. And, of course, they're back in the States now, so look forward to seeing them coming up in just a little bit. So, hopefully you're enjoying the summer. Apparently my rant got through to some of you because I'd just be kind of hanging out over the weekend, and bam, I get a text or I get hit up on social media and folks showing me that they were at the beach or on the golf course or doing this, doing that. I'm proud of you. Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be like. Enjoy each and every day. Take advantage of it. Football will be here. It's coming. Okay? Enjoy the days. Enjoy your PGA Championship this week. Enjoy the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Enjoy Game 2 tonight. San Jose, St. Louis. Western Conference Finals of the National Hockey League. My goodness, how about the Boston Bruins? Are you kidding me? The Bruins, I mean, 6-1 on a Mother's Day in downtown Boston? 6-1? I mean, stress-free on a Sunday afternoon. How does that happen? You got to be kidding me. Tuukka Rask is hot. They're getting contributions from their fourth line. They got goals from their third line. I mean, it's not just the Patty Bergeron, Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak line. They're getting it from everyone. Your former Jacksonville Lizard Kings coach is behind the bench from the Boston Bruins. Up 2-0 in that best of seven. Game 3 tomorrow night back in Carolina. Just some unbelievable stuff. And Jaguar fans, you know, this is really it. This is the last week off. And then next week, and I haven't seen the schedule as far as media availability. Boy, I hope we're allowed out there. I know that we weren't, you know, obviously for the three-day rookie minicamp. We had a chance to get out there and interview on Friday and hear from Doug Marrone and hear from Josh Allen and Juwan Taylor, among others. I had an opportunity to talk with the linebacker Quincy Williams. But I don't know what the schedule is like yet as far as us being allowed to go out and observe these practices. And I really hope that we get that opportunity because it provides not only so much material for us to talk about here on the show, I just really like watching these guys work out. You know, I love off-season workouts, and I actually love training camp because once you get into the regular season, for the most part, practices are done. People don't realize that. You have a rehab day for treatment on Monday. You have the collective bargaining agreement Tuesday day off. Wednesday you get out there, but guys are banged and bruised. So you work a little bit on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, but by Friday, it's basically the game plan and a walkthrough. You travel on Saturday. So you hardly practice at all once you get into the regular season. I think a lot of people forget that you actually practice more in the month of August, especially back in the old days when it was the true two-a-days. You'd practice more that month than you actually would during the 17-week, 16-game season. Because of the way it's structured. You just can't work, guys. You can't put on pads. You can't hit during the regular season. The body is far too beaten up. And I think the strategy and in the look and the technique and that whole process has really changed throughout the year. So I want to get out there next week. Take a look at these young players. Take a look at the veterans. It gets us to tonight. I'm going to throw it out to you. Grab some phone calls on this. 10 transactions after the rookie minicamp, including saying goodbye to Carson Meyer, who's a tight end, played some H-back, lined up at times, you know, behind the quarterback at Oklahoma. Right now, the Jaguars don't have a fullback on their roster. Still don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you can find a guy. There are Tommy Bohannons out there and available. But they made a transaction a week ago by saying goodbye to Dimitri Flowers. So they don't even have a fullback right now on this roster. Still don't know exactly what they're going to do as far as that offensively. It seemed like they got away from it more and more as we progress through the 2018 season. But right now, it looks like they're going to be without a fullback, which I guess is a good thing. Extra wideouts. We'll see. And again, still my major question on the offense is who's going to catch the football coming out of the backfield. So we'll do some Jaguars tonight. I'll come back. I'll get into Telvin Smith a little bit, give you an opportunity to voice your opinion. And who else is in danger of not making this football team? Is there a veteran, perhaps two, where they just get beaten out by someone else? There's two names that I'm looking at right out of the gate. Keelan Cole, who really took a step back a year ago. Major step back. And he's a nice young man. I'd like to see him turn things around. And what about Dwayne Smoot? Those are two that come to mind, one on offense, one on defense. So I'm going to ask you about that tonight as well. Who do you see on this roster right now who is in danger of being next to being let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars? That and Telvin Smith. We're just barely underway. Glad you're with us. The phone number, 641-1010. Text line, 641-1010. Twitter tonight, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. This is Into the Night. My name is Rick Ballou.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's going to be back. Really is. What a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all. Beautiful weather. Hopefully, just about all of you got to at least talk with your mom, as I did. I missed her. She's back in Boston. Must be great to have family around. Those here in Jack's. I got to get my family back down. I'm actually going to get my mother down here for about a week coming up here. Sometime in late May, early June, we'll do that. But need to get them back here full time to Jacksonville. So anyway, spectacular Mother's Day. Again, it was a little bit weird for me. I had the golf itch, the player's itch. I'm not always a huge fan of change. As a matter of fact, I'm typically against change. I'm really having I really am having trouble with this, with the players, you know, being back in March. And I think that we got the best case scenario this year as far as the weather. It was a beautiful week, so Jacksonville dodged the bullet with that, and that was comforting. But again, I think the golf course, just got abused. And you saw what happened a week later out of Copperhead, out of Valspar, where, Casey won. And if you looked at his score there, it would have been tied for 22nd here at the Players. And it was like video golf. It's like a bandbox. It's like right field at Yankee Stadium. What has happened to my Players' Championship? You could foul one off the end of the bat, and it's going to go 320 feet, and it's a home run. Heck, it's like the old Tiger Stadium, hit it off the end of the bat. It's an upper deck shot. My Players' Championship, guys are just making a mockery of it. So hopefully they'll get it together next year. It's going to take more than difficult pin placements to fix that golf course. And maybe you like it. Maybe you do. Maybe you like these guys going low and low and low. Okay, again, it's like the John Deere Classic. Heck, my Players' Championship is like the Greater Milwaukee Open. If that's what you like, fine. I want a more difficult golf course. I want a more challenging event. I hope we get that this week at Bethpage Black in the PGA Championship. We'll make our way towards that. So anyway, it was a phenomenal weekend. I did everything I possibly could have wanted. I went to the beach, played a great round of golf over at Atlantic Beach. What a phenomenal golf course that is. Kind of a shame the web.com tour is not going through there anymore. We've enjoyed doing our shows out there the last several years when I was on in afternoons. Always a lot of fun. Phenomenal course. And you know what I really enjoyed about the web.com tour, and I'll kind of miss this, I cannot tell a lie, is the husband hunting that would go on while at Atlantic Beach, because you got these young up-and-coming golfers, 20-something-year-olds, trying to get their card and make it onto the PGA Tour. You know, there used to be a thing at Florida State where we'd have parties and apartments, and it used to be a pretty simple rule. You provide free beer, the women would show. That's the way it was at Atlantic Beach. You got the young 20-something-year-old guns trying to get their card and go from the web.com to the PGA Tour. The women show. And they're hunting. And they're not looking for 50-year-old talk show hosts. No, no, no. They aren't. They're looking for guys that they think are going to end up making it on the PGA Tour. I'll miss that. That was fun. Girls dressed to the nines, drinking cocktails, just really on the hunt. And that will no longer be there at Atlantic Beach. But boy, what a great round there. Went to the beach on the concert yesterday, that Bruins win yesterday. Just a phenomenal weekend. The Red Sox are. Everything's great except for my Seminoles. I'll get there momentarily. They don't have a pass rusher. If it's not Kane, though, if it's not Robinson, you're still waiting. I mean, that's into the potential category. This Peters kid was a good two-way football player. Only played a couple of games, suspended this spring. But apparently he was stout against the run, or at least that was the word in practice, and he had a little giddy-up in him in his ability to get after the quarterback. He has now entered the transfer portal. His reason, I can understand it. He's got a kid back in Ohio. He said the last time he left, his kid was crawling. Went to school, went back to Ohio, his kid's walking. He's missing his kid grow up. I know a lot of people text and they don't have feelings. It's kind of like the Telvin situation. It's all about them. And that's okay. That's the way fans are. For fans, it's about them. It's not about the player. It's about them. It's about winning. So I see this and the fans are like, well, can't the baby's mama and the baby move to Tallahassee? Well, what if she doesn't want to move to Tallahassee? I don't even know if they're together. I didn't get that deep into it. But don't you think that that conversation probably came up? If they are together, hey, why not come to Tallahassee? No, apparently she does not want to come to Tallahassee. He wants to be closer to his baby. I understand it, but people think about it from their perspective, from their point of view, and that's okay. But that's just the way that we think. That's the way that we're conditioned. They're blaming Willie Taggart for this. Listen, if it's a Willie Taggart situation, I'm going to lean towards the negative. Okay? If it's a Willie Taggart deal, I'm going to give you a glass half-empty approach. Why wouldn't I? He proved a year ago he's in way, way over his head. And it was a disaster for him at Florida State. Now, I'm not saying that can't turn around. Okay? Even right now, maybe the best coach in college football, not named Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, went through monumental growing pains. Tremendous growing pains. Major mistakes on the field. That's how the whole Clemsoning, you know, scenario evolved. That just wasn't invented because someone was trying to be, smart guy. No. Mistakes made on the field. They stayed with him. He continued to work it. And now he's considered, if not the best coach in college football, certainly the second best coach in college football. But my point is that fans now are blaming Willie Taggart. Oh, way to go, Willie. Now you let this guy go. You know, your fault. This isn't his fault. This isn't Willie Taggart's fault. Peters has got a young child back in the state of Ohio. He wants to be close to his son. So as much as it's convenient and when things are down, we all like to pick on the person who is down, you can't blame Willie Taggart for this one. I'm sorry. You just can't. All right, to Telvin Smith, I honestly thought that I was going to be able to come back here on Monday and not talk about Telvin. That my hope was, you know what, sooner or later, we're going to find out what is really going on. And I am still one of those who honestly does believe that he could have a change of heart and end up coming here to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. To me, the biggest scenario and the biggest question is, when do the Jaguars decide to make a move on what he has said? And what I mean by this is if he's announced that he's not playing football this year, when do they officially put him on the retired list or an exempt list or something like that where they can recoup that money towards their salary cap and make another move, whether it's re-sign Yannick Ngakoue to a contract extension, whether it's to go out and bring in another football player. I don't know. But what if, you know, the Jaguars are considering doing that, but they want to give it a little bit more time in case Telvin wakes up one morning and says, all right, I got this. I'm ready to come back and play. It is only May 13th. There's a lot of time. But again, OTAs are ongoing. A week from tomorrow out there will be the next phase on the field, and hopefully media availability will get an opportunity to see these guys get out there and practice. There'll be a lot of work from the 21st of May up until, I believe, it's June 13th, June 14th, when it's mandatory minicamp, I believe that week or weekend, and then things really take off. So that 1 month period or 3-4 week period, there'll be a lot of activity, a lot of Jaguars news, and then you'll have that long break from the mid part of June until the very last week of July, when you have reporting day, veteran day, rookie day, and you know, get out on the field a couple of days later, then we'll begin the training camp process. And I believe every game this year is on a Thursday night, preseason-wise. So it's going to be here before you know it. But the Telvin situation now, he's just muddying the waters. And to make the comments that he did over the weekend is anything but smart. When you're Telvin Smith, and you're in a situation like this, the same comment I made about Xavier Peters. Fans care, and what fans care about most is themselves and about winning. And they can't figure out why you're leaving $10 million on the table and why you do not want to play. So everyone has questions, and everyone is speculating as to why you're taking a season off. But it makes absolutely zero sense for Telvin to kind of bounce around on an Instagram video and tell people to chill and tell people that there are more important things than football. It's just not a good look. And to me, I'm trying to be sensitive because whenever something like this comes up, it seems like the defense for Telvin Smith is the man is sick. The man has mental health issues. Folks, we don't know that that's the case. We don't know that. If we did know that, then there would be a lot more sensitivity towards him. But we don't know if it's that. We don't know if he's got a CTE issue, which would be incredibly severe and significant if there is something going on with Telvin like that. I know he's had shoulder issues. I'm trying to remember if he went into the concussion protocol at all. I think he did once, and I honestly do not remember, and I should, considering I am the Jaguars sideline reporter, but there are so many evaluations that go on for this throughout the course of a game and a season, I honestly don't remember. But that part, I'd really be surprised, because whether he was at FSU or here, I don't ever remember hearing of head issues with Telvin, concussion issues with Telvin. But when you start to see stuff like this, it makes you wonder. So the defense for Telvin is, oh, he's got mental health issues, and there's depression, and there's anxiety, and leave him alone, and people don't understand how significant mental health is. And well, yes, I get it. I understand. But we don't know that that's the reason. So why are people defending him for this if we don't know if that's the issue? And people are speculating, you know, about recreationally things that are going. We don't know the answer to these questions. But when people are voicing their opinion and people want to know, bro, you're leaving $10 million on the table in the prime of your career. What's up? You're giving us no response. You're giving us no information. And on top of that, you come forward with these announcements on social media every week. It's an awful look. Of course people are going to speculate and ask what's going on. They're jealous of you. You make $10 million a year. People getting out of bed every day, working hard, trying to support families. They want to know what's going on. Is it any of their business? Probably not. But you add to it when you get on there and you tell people to wake the you-know-what up. Come on, Telvin. You're better than that. Love this kid. But there really is something going on. And we just don't want, you know, we just don't know what it is. Anyway, you want to comment on that? I'll grab some calls here coming up on the other side. Let's do that. And I also want to hear from you. Who's next to get cut on this team? Give me a veteran right now that you think is in danger of not making this football team. And if he's a veteran and he's let go and he's a guy who hasn't produced, I'm looking at that as a good thing, because that means someone else has come in who's playing better and can produce. Calls on that. Glad you're with us tonight. 641-1010. That is the number. Just barely underway. It is a Monday night. We go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key. Got some great stuff going on at Key GMC, Key Buick. May is Military Appreciation Month. The Lifetime Powertrain Warranty, the only dealership in Jacksonville. You buy a brand new Buick, brand new GMC from Key, you get the Lifetime Powertrain Warranty. Got some phenomenal deals, too. How about the 2018 GMC Sierra truck? All right, the 1500. You could save up to $15,500 on select new trucks in stock. That's over 28% off. So some really incredible deals. Visit them at Key. All right, let's get to some calls on this. 641-1010. A little bit more on Telvin, if you know you still are involved in that. I think some of you have let it go. You know, I was at that concert last night, and everyone's asked me, like, I have the inside. What's really going on with Telvin? I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. I think everyone has their ideas. It's funny, because people will walk up to me and say, hey, what's going on with Telvin? And I'll be like, I don't know. And then they'll tell me what's going on. And it's different from about everyone than what I talk with. I mean, it's not like it's one concise answer or idea. There are several that are there, and we just don't know. So if you want to comment and Telvin, good. And who's next to go? I think this roster And the reason why I raise that is because you look at a guy like Barry Church who was cut. And I know that that was late in the year. And a guy like Dante Fowler who was traded. And you look after the season and guys are gone like Blake and Malik and Deshaun Gibson. But I look at the 53. And, yeah, I'll be interested to see who makes it at the back of the roster. But I think you look at the starters and you're pretty well set. You know, maybe you could add a tight end here, a wide receiver there, safety here. You know, we'll see what happens with Telvin, how that affects that linebacking core. But, I mean, are there really guys involved in this rotation who could be moved? And the two that really stick out for me are Keelan Cole and Dwayne Smoot. Just my opinion. Or Dwayne Smoot. Excuse me. Let's grab your phones on it, your phone calls on it. 641-1010, that is the number. Let's go to Zach. How you doing, Zach?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, all right. Actually, I think Leonard Fournette, I think he'll be the next one to go. And it really sucks because he was the third pick a couple years ago. 2017, he was injured off and on, but he did have over 1,000 yards. First time since Maurice Jones-Drew, so everybody was expecting a lot from him, and then what happened last year?
Yeah.
Oh my God, like he goes like nuts and completely becomes extremely immature, and also he takes his injury to the next level, which honestly for anybody else, that injury would have been okay, 1 week, and or maybe not 1 week, but you know what I mean, it would be all right, good, I'm back and now, but it took him forever to come back. But I think after everything he's gone and also the Shaq Lawson fight, I think he's kind of on like they're kind of watching him a little bit more than everybody else to see what he's going to do next, especially with Tom Coughlin, what he said last year about him, how he went and blasted him out of the water. So I think, honestly, I don't think Leonard Fournette's going to do anything this year. I think he's going to be very it's going to be very depressed to watch him, and I believe he'll be cut probably during the year.
Wow. Hey Zach, thanks for the call. Boy, I hope you're wrong. Oh, man, I hope you're wrong. Because if that's the case, then this season's going to be a disaster. And yes, I really do believe that Leonard Fournette is that much of a difference maker. And I don't want to hear the numbers are, you know, remember at one point they were 4-0 without him? Back when the Jags were winning a lot of football games, if you consider the games that he missed as a rookie and then, you know, missed a couple of early on games this year with the nagging injury. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation about whether or not he should have or could have come back earlier than he did from the injury. There's two ways to look at injuries. Pain tolerance is one. And that's where you can separate men from boys, pain tolerance. The other is just the overall burst. You know, especially if it's a soft tissue injury. If it's a hamstring, you don't know if you can do what you need to do on it, okay? If you don't have the burst and you can't do what is asked of you, then you really shouldn't play. If it's a pain tolerance issue, that's totally different. And, you know, I think for years around here when people were questioning the overall toughness of Marquise Lee, we kind of found out late in the process that that wasn't the issue, that Marquise Lee is a tough guy, and Marquise Lee wanted to go out there and play, but he just didn't have the burst, and they didn't want him to go back out there and injure it even more. So we were wrong with that. I heard all those rumors a year ago with Leonard Fournette. To this day, I don't know which one it was. I've heard it from both camps. I've heard he didn't have the burst, or I heard, yeah, there's a little bit of you know, a question mark there about his overall toughness. And I guess 1 year at LSU, he stayed healthy virtually the entire year. Outside of that, I mean, he's missed games. There's no way I'd sign on to the fact right now that I think Leonard Fournette's going to give you 16 games in 2019. History tells us that's not going to happen. But if what you said, our last caller said, oh, that would just be devastating. You know, dead money would be $8.9 million to cut him. Next year, $4.4 million. So, you know, getting into to 2020 is a little bit more affordable if you want to cut bait with him there. Of course, as a first-rounder, they have that whole issue as to whether or not they'll pick up that fifth year in 2021. That's a long time coming. They just picked up Jalen Ramsey's fifth year, you know, back during the NFL draft, so they did that recently. This is a huge show-me year for Leonard Fournette. And the only way that the Jaguars are going to get back to where they were in 2017 and become a good football player, become a good football team down the road, they have to re-sign their own players. That is what great organizations do. Great organizations draft well and fill in holes with free agency. I mean, you look at successful teams, they end up losing so many of their draftable players because they can't afford to sign them. As opposed to bad organizations, which typically go through general managers and head coaches and oftentimes quarterbacks, what do they all have in common? Their draft picks, you don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to re-sign them because they're not good and they end up leaving. They're out of the league or they go somewhere else because they're cut. That's the difference. And, you know, for the Jaguars right now, there's not a lot of football players on this team currently that they have re-signed. How many are there on this team? I mean, you got Brandon Linder. You got Marquise Lee. You've got Kelvin Smith. Am I missing anyone that they've drafted and that they have re-signed? Now, you got some heavy hitters coming up. Jalen, Unique, Miles Jack. But what an enormous year for Leonard Fournette. I mean, this kid's whole future is banking on this season. If he comes out and proves that he can be a top five running back in this league, and even in Jacksonville right now, I mean, what is the percentage of the people out there who would take that bet that Leonard Fournette can be a top five back in this league? Even with the most diehard Jaguar fan, my guess is that it's less than 15% of our listening audience who would believe that he can do that. There are health issues. There are maturity issues. I think his biggest issue is his vision. Does he see the field? Does he see the crease? Does he see the hole? Does he go left when he should go right? Does he go right when he should go left? Does he have the patience? Now, everything fell apart last year. That offensive line was beaten up. They had no passing attack, and he was injured. But I think he's going to have a big year. I don't know why I'm so pro it's going to happen for Leonard Fournette in 2019. I really think outside of the stupid traffic violation, whatever, that he was arrested for driving on a suspended license. Outside of that, which is really petty, it's stupid. It was a stupid mistake. Outside of that, I really got a vibe that he's grown up. And he went to Wyoming, got away from it all, sends out messages here and there that all seem to be positive in the right direction, that this team could have moved him. They could have let him go. There was reportedly a lot of people in that building that had wiped their hands clean with Leonard Fournette, but they elected to stick with him. I think they elected to stick with him for one reason and one reason only. They knew they couldn't get anything in value for him. Just couldn't. Not for the fourth pick in the first round. So I believe that it's going to work for Leonard Fournette this year. Am I crazy? We'll see. But I think everything's going to come together with the health of that offensive line, a new offensive coordinator, a quarterback that can spin it. Again, I'd like to see a little bit more as far as a back who can catch it out of the backfield and maybe another wide receiver. But I think it's going to work for Leonard Fournette. I've been on record for that for a long, long time. And if I'm wrong, I know you folks will let me know about it. He's usually pretty good about that. All right, second hour is coming up. I want to begin with, I woke up today and really four headlines that I had, all in kind of relation. And it's about sports figures getting after sports figures and the sensitivity that is going on and the criticism that some just cannot deal with in the world of sports. All of that is coming up in hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, text line blowing up tonight. Thank you to everyone who contributes. The 3613 reminded me that AJ can resign. You are correct, sir. The 7597 says, probably a really unfair question, and I'm not a supporter of Gus, but you think Tubman would have done the same thing with no communication if Gus was still the head coach? I honestly have no idea. I mean, I got eyes and I got ears, and I see a lot when I'm with the team and I travel with the team, but I do not know what goes on behind closed doors, and I am not aware of the relationship that Telvin had with Gus and has now with Doug Marrone. My guess would be no. I mean, Doug Marrone to me comes across as a major player's coach. I mean, Gus was a friend to everyone, but I don't think it's Doug Marrone's fault. I don't think Telvin is, you know, even the trade rumors, they weren't created by Doug Marrone, right? They were created by the media. They were created by the fans. They are the people that speculated about Telvin. It's not like Doug Marrone's grabbing the podium and saying, yeah, I think we're going to consider trading Telvin Smith here. So good question, but I honestly don't know. The 9207 says you just can't forget about the traffic violations. That just adds to the numerous list of immaturity issues he has yet to prove nothing except that he can stay injured and get in trouble. That is from, again, the 9207. Yeah. I guess my point on this is outside of that, it seems like it's been a good offseason for him. I mean, taking it upon himself to get away, go to Wyoming and work out. And some of the pictures he sent out, some things on social media has been real positive in my opinion. Looks good. Seems like he's doing the right things. But yeah, I mean, the traffic violation, you can't defend that. You list it under the categories as really being stupid and perhaps above the law. You know, do you know who I am? They're not going to come after me because it reeks of that. And that in itself is immaturity. All right, I got up today and I was just, first of all, I hate this injury because Tampa Bay is playing some great baseball. They got a half game lead right now over the New York Yankees. Three out is Boston, who's playing some great baseball as of late over the last couple of weeks. But I hated to see the injury that came down with Tyler Glasnow. Really out to a, you know, first month of the season, really the Cy Young Award winner 1 month in. This is the 25-year-old who came over in the Chris Archer deal from Pittsburgh. He's got an earned run average of 1.86, a whip under one, more than a strikeout per inning. And he's just been a flamethrower and very difficult to hit. And he's going to be on the shelf now for 4 to 6 weeks with a forearm strain. And just a devastating blow right now. They cannot afford that with Tyler Glasnow. They still have a Blake Snell to fortify that rotation, and they're getting some pretty good pitching right now. But I think the situation when you look at the Tampa Bay Rays is their ability to maintain. and they just don't have the personnel that Boston has, and they don't have the personnel that New York has. And New York has been just destroyed so far with injuries this year. I mean, what have they had, like 15 guys on the disabled list? Sooner or later, they're going to get healthy. And the fact that New York has been able to win baseball games, and I think they're, what, 6 or 7 games above 500, is really just an incredible feat. So this division is really going to heat up, but this is a huge blow for the Rays. I know we don't talk a ton about Tampa Bay, and for obvious reasons. I mean, there aren't a lot of fans. They only draw about 14,000 a game, and they'll tell you it's because of that stadium. Kevin Cash does a wonderful job as a skipper, though, out in St. Petersburg. So I wake up today, and, you know, I'm checking the headlines, and first thing I see is Barkley and Embiid. And Barkley's telling him to kiss his ass, and Embiid's crying, and people getting on Embiid for crying, and they're going back and forth, sensitivity, criticism. All right, there you go. There's basketball. Then I get to baseball, and I see the Madison Bumgarner comments on Yasiel Puig. Puig goes deep. Of course Puig's going to flip the bat. It doesn't matter if you're up 6-1 or down 6-1. Yasiel Puig is going to flip the bat. I don't have a problem with bat flipping, not at the Major League Baseball level. I think the flip should only come into play if you are winning or you're turning a game around or you're sparking a team. If you're down by a touchdown, you flip a bat, you're a jackass. Okay, if it's a tie game, you take the lead, or you're up 6-1, you flip the bat, then I'm all for it. Yasiel Puig doesn't respect the game of baseball. That's the problem that Madison Bumgarner. And that's the problem that a lot of baseball purists have. They don't respect the game, okay? And it's not the bat flip. It's his overall way that he goes about baseball, his approach to the game. It's one thing to have swagger. It's one thing to be arrogant. It's another to be completely disrespectful to the game. And that's the way that Puig is. So these two are going back and forth. They're fighting on Twitter and going back. Again, more sensitivity, more criticism. Get to hockey. Brad Marchand, Justin Williams on the ice. Marchand takes a stick to him, does a little bit of carve work. Williams turns around, rips off his chin strap. It's the old, you hit him first, he hits you second. The guy who hits second gets caught. He spends a couple of minutes in the box. Bruins wipe them off the map. You know there's going to be massive retaliation in this game coming up tomorrow night, game 3. A lot of war of words there going on. There's hockey. All right. Then it covers basketball, baseball, hockey. Get to football. Baker Mayfield's calling out a school system. This is like the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. They're no longer going to have a valedictorian and things along those lines because they don't want to give other kids a sense of entitlement and others don't want to be disrupted because they're not number one. Can you believe this? I always blame the parents with Generation Z because the parents are way too soft. It's so easy to blame the kids. Here's Baker Mayfield, who's a kid. Here's Baker Mayfield, who was the player of the year at Texas Tech, lost his job to an injury. Cliff Kingsbury said, I don't think we want you. He moves to Oklahoma, wins a Heisman, becomes the number one pick in the draft. He's a fierce competitor. Is that really the approach now that schools are going to take, that they're no longer going to rank students as far as what they do academically because it's going to show a sense of entitlement and it's going to hurt the other students? What about the whole competitive nature of going out and being the very best that you can? Baker Mayfield going nuts on Twitter today. That covers football. So I got up today, I'm like, whoa, they're going crazy in hockey, baseball, basketball, and football. Everyone just rolling out of the wrong side of the bed. And I thought of it, which one bothered me the most? The hockey one I love. That's hockey. They'll fix that on the ice. That won't be a problem. Barkley's doing his job. Why are people so sensitive to the media? The Philadelphia fans are going crazy on Donovan McNabb. That guy dropped blood for you in Philly. He sweat for you. He threw up on the field here in Jacksonville. He gave it his all. You didn't even want him there. Hell, the mayor wanted Ricky Williams. But they can't handle it if Donovan McNabb makes a comment that if they don't win and get to the second round of the playoffs, then maybe Carson Wentz isn't the guy for the job. That's his job now. He's a member of the media. Charles Barkley's the very best at what he does. He's on Embiid. He thinks he needs to swim. He thinks he needs to be a better conditioned athlete. Embiid fires back. Barkley tells him to kiss his ass. Guy makes a ton of money. He left it all on the court in this series against Toronto. You got to be able to handle the criticism. The Bumgarner Puig thing. I love this. I wish there was more of this in baseball. This should happen. Guy hits a home run after you, and if you think he's showing you up by bat flipping and taking 35 seconds to round the base pass, put one in his ear. That's old school baseball. That's where this great game came from in how it evolved. I was reading a story over the weekend that, 39% of Major League Baseball right now is Latin. They come from the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Cuba, you name it. Aruba, Mexico. I mean, Aruba is, you know what I mean? Aruba is obviously in Mexico. But they don't even speak the English language. They don't know the rules of the game. They don't know the history. They don't know and appreciate baseball. That's becoming a major talking point. Should Major League Baseball players know the English language? Can you imagine that? Do you remember what it was like when you would bring in these pitchers from Japan? They would have the translator. I remember trying to interview Ichiro at the All-Star Game in Milwaukee when he had his posse and he had the fur coat on and all that. He was like the coolest thing. He looked like a pimp. It was Ichiro, okay? And he was a rock star. 39% of Major League Baseball? I read it twice. I was like, wait a minute. Are those numbers correct? That's nearly 40% of the game doesn't know the English language? And now all of a sudden they're presenting that to us? What should baseball do? I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you. All I know is I drove all the way through Jacksonville, I drive all over the place in this city. I never see kids out there playing baseball anymore. I told you I visited the Dominican Republic in February or March, whatever there is that I went. They're hanging on chain link fences. They're doing whatever they can trying to get in games. You got hundreds and hundreds in broken down glass-filled sand lots with like one old baseball and bats, and kids are out there begging to get an at-bat and get on the field. They love baseball in the Dominican Republic. They play it in the Dominican Republic. It's all over the place. Billboards, Robinson Cano, David Ortiz. I mean, of course, Ortiz is retired. He's still all sorts of stuff up there with Big Poppy. They love the game. That's an identity problem. I don't even know what to, you know, we talked about it last week, that whole White House fallout with the Red Sox. You know who didn't go to the White House? The players, many of which don't speak English. Okay? I'm not going to get into politics tonight. It's a big story in the Boston market, though. Here you got players on their roster who don't even know the English language, yet they've been told one way or another, you don't want to go to the White House. Your president's a bad guy. Okay? You're from another country over here playing the great game of baseball in the United States of America, but don't go to the White House because the president's a bad guy. Even though they don't even know who the president is. They don't speak the same language that he does. Look at the roster. Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico, Dominican Republic. Two from the United States said no. David Price and Mookie Betts. I think Betts is from Tennessee. I forget what Price is. He might be from Tennessee himself. I know he played at Vanderbilt. Really interesting situation right now with this great game. Attendance is down. Okay? Viewership is down. Not in real baseball cities. Not in the East Coast. Not in St. Louis. Not in Chicago. But it's down. Look at this state. Look at the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays. Ugh. Just nasty. Google Major League Baseball attendance. Take a look at it for yourself. It's pretty frustrating, but it's an issue. So anyway, I was just kind of caught off by that today. Athletes on athletes, athletes on members of the media, Baker Mayfield on a school system. I mean, how cowardly is that? I mean, wow. Stop blaming the kids. These are parents that are forcing this rule. I mean, they're really going to make that change? Would you want that? Wouldn't that something to be competitive about growing up? Improving your grade point average, including your overall class rank? Never thought I'd live to see a day where Baker Mayfield would be taken on a school system. He is. So really some bizarre things happening right now. With athletes in the four major sports. All right, when we come back, let's get the news and notes. Got a lot to do tonight. Very interesting stuff going on outside of the Jaguars. We'll hit that for a couple of minutes. It's brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. We call it Truth Teller News and Notes.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
All right, what a shot. And boy, do they ever love Leonard. In a hockey town, their number one star is a basketball player. I imagine that would be Joel Embiid on the other side. Guy left it on the court. Interesting series. My goodness, are you kidding me? 92-90, the final. Toronto knocks off Philly. Portland came from behind to knock off Denver. We're all set for the finals. Portland and Golden State. Golden State, a huge favorite in this series. Minus 520 to the dollar is Golden State, regardless of the injuries. Kevin Durant, they're saying what? Probably game three. He's not going to play Thursday night, or excuse me, tomorrow night. Not going to play game one with the right calf. Unlikely that it'll go in game two as well. So I guess a best case scenario would be game three for Kevin Durant. So we'll see. And, you know, Boogie's out as well. They're saying that he could be back for the finals. But so to win the series, Golden State, enormous favorite, minus 520 to the $1. Portland plus 235 to transcribe that for you, even though I understand I have an outstanding gambling audience. Although we do this strictly for entertainment purposes. You got to lay $520 to win $100 if you play Golden State. Portland, if you lay down that same $100, you win back $235. They're plus 235. East is closer. Milwaukee minus 280. They've had the extra rest after rolling through Boston in five. Toronto, we just played the highlight. They get through Philly. They're plus 235. There you go. Game one lines. Golden State favored by eight. Total 218 and a hook. Game one between Toronto and Milwaukee. The Bucks favored by 6.5. Your total there, 218 points. That is your look as to what is going on in the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Let's get the Truth Teller News and Notes. Brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Based right here in Jacksonville. Only law firm in the state of Florida where if someone has been hurt out on the road and it came by a truck, tractor trailer, RV, a bus, significant injury, and you know, serious, that it's affected your family, your friends, an injury, even if it was fatal, you need to know of truckcrashlaw.com. Again, they're the only law firm in this state who has this as their practice. This is their expertise. This is what they do. And they're based right here in Jacksonville. So make sure you know the name, truckcrashlaw.com. All right, Dan Mullen in the news. He's been in the news lately for all the wrong reasons. He lost a couple of recruits, had the situation with the five-star DB left and entered the transfer portal. Now I saw that Paul Feinbaum went on a local radio station back in Bama and said that it was karma, and the fact that Dan Mullen's been opening up his mouth and spouting off and saying this and saying that, that it came back and hit him in the face, and that it's his own fault that Dan Mullen shouldn't be talking. Paul Feinbaum is saying that someone shouldn't be talking. I have absolutely zero problem with what Dan Mullen is doing. Frankly, I miss it. Ron Zook was at the Bob Seger concert last night. He didn't talk. Urban Meyer didn't talk. And when he did, it was through grit teeth, and he was always pissed off. Jim McElwain, I don't know, did he do anything? Yeah, when he talked, he lied. So who cares about those guys? I like the fact that Dan Mullen says something. I like the fact that Dan Mullen's calling out Georgia, that they haven't won a national title in 40 years. I like the fact that they knock off Florida State for the first time in 6 years, and he's talking trash over there in Tallahassee as well. I love it. Now, he better be able to back it up. Spurrier was actually a better trash talker than he was a coach. And that's saying something, because Steve Spurrier is one of the great coaches of any era. But he is an absolute Hall of Fame trash talker. And no one was better than him. And he infuriated everyone. Spurrier backed it up. Dan Mullen needs to back it up now. I love the fact that my coach is doing this. You hope it's infectious with his players and with his fans. They only face each other one time a year. You're going to run around and be timid? No. So I don't understand what Paul Feinbaum is trying to do here. It's not karma. It's been some bad luck in Gainesville. I like that Dan Mullen's doing this. I actually wish the coaches did a little bit more of it. Now, Kirby Smart has been absolutely offered time and time again opportunities to respond to Dan Mullen, and he won't. He says that at Georgia they talk with the helmet. At Georgia, it's a little bit of a different story right now, in my opinion, than Florida. Number one, Georgia is a bona fide national championship contender. Florida is not. Florida is a double-digit win, contending team in the East with an opportunity to go with the New Year's Day Bowl. But they're not a national title contender. They're not close to a national championship. They're leaps and bounds behind Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, and programs like that. The pressure right now is on Georgia. I took some heat from a promo that I said recently about Georgia and, you know, how everyone around them has won. That's the truth. Georgia got another five-star over the weekend or another four-star over the weekend. Every time I look up, Georgia's adding more and more and more tremendous football players. There is not a college football program in America, it's not even close, that has the pressure on them like Georgia does to win a national title. It's on Kirby Smart. He is a tremendous coach, a phenomenal recruiter. But that collar is getting tighter each and every year. Is it all his fault? No. He's only been there for a short period of time. Mark Richt gave it a heck of a run. Couldn't win the big one. Now we're seeing it with Kirby Smart. Anything short of a national title is not acceptable right now for Georgia. It's been 40 years, or it will be, in 2020. They have to win a national championship. Nick Saban back at it now. Actually, Nick Saban said something that I went off on about a week ago, and he's 100% right. He's now in full support that undrafted players should not be allowed to return to school. We had that show. We talked about it here when it was announced that, what, 49 out of the 114 players who were drafted, who are eligible for the draft as underclassmen, didn't end up being selected in the NFL draft. Let's turn the NFL and college football into like the NBA and college basketball. No. Much more difficult to deal with. Coach Saban was right on. What do you do with spring ball? How do you set your roster? How do you bring in your 25? How do you set your 85? Saban's philosophy is pretty simple. And yes, it reeks of him being selfish, but I get it. His thought is, stay in school. Why should those 49 kids come out? Why should the others come out as well if they're getting selected in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round? Chances are 5th, 6th, 7th rounders don't make the team or are out of the league in 1, 2, 3 years. Stay in school. Improve your stock. Pick up a degree. Grab an education. You know what happens to these kids who leave school early and they don't get drafted? They don't make it in the NFL. They also don't get their degree. They lose on both ends. Not everyone, but oftentimes that is the case. I don't agree with Nick Saban often. I do here. EJ Manuel has announced his retirement. Have a tremendous amount of respect for EJ Manuel. He is truly a Florida State ambassador. He'll never be remembered as one of the greats to play quarterback at FSU. I think a lot of people will remember the North Carolina State loss on a Thursday night. Him missing a wide-open nickel Leary that would have solidified that win against the Gators back in Tallahassee when Florida State blew a fourth-quarter lead. He struggled to learn Jimbo Fisher's offense. Very limited on what they could do there because it just didn't register for EJ. 16th pick in the draft, 5 years in the league. Won a big game here for Buffalo. I remember when they came in here and won a few years back. But he's going to grab his pension, and I wish him the best. The one thing that I always admire about EJ, and I saw him a couple of years ago at the Osceola Club when the Jags had an off week, and I believe he was still in Buffalo, and the Bills had an off week. And I only spent about 5 minutes with him. But he is class 100%. Man, he's a true gentleman and an outstanding professional. I really hope he falls in the coaching or something along those lines. I wish there was a spot for him somewhere at FSU. Maybe not necessarily, you know, as a coach, but somewhere involved in the football offices or whatever. I just think he's a guy that would do whatever it takes to try to help that program. Big fan of EJ Manuel. Yeah, he disappointed in his NFL career, but, I mean, as far as the human being, he really is a good one. Sad announcement today, the passing of Gunther Cunningham, a football name that just about everyone out there is familiar with, 72 years of age, all around, did, you know, all sorts of different things, including becoming a head coach in Kansas City for a couple of years, former defensive coordinator in Detroit, did have an illness and passed at the age of 72. I didn't realize that he was from Germany, spoke no English, came here and learned it. And went on to do some great things, but he leaves us too early at the age of 72. The passing of Gunther Cunningham. There you go. News and notes. Truth Teller Style, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. The law firm in the state of Florida where it's really simple. If someone has been injured or even if it was fatal and it happened out on the road, and it was created by a truck, a tractor, an RV, a bus, anything like that. And, you know, let's just say someone you work with, they're out. And, you know, they're with their family. And they're going through such a difficult time. They may not be aware of this company, TruckCrashLaw.com. This law firm, I should say. They're outstanding. They're there for you. I hope you don't ever have to use them. I honestly don't. It's the only sponsorship I've ever done in my life where I hope you don't ever have to use them because that means that you're dealing with something that is extremely serious. But if it is the case, know your rights, know what they can do for you. The great people at TruckCrashLaw.com. NFL.com. All right, let me come back. Final thoughts on this Monday night. Got a couple of things I want to talk about here with the Noles and the announcement that came down today. Xavier Peters no longer on this football team. Boy, when's the last time you looked at Florida State? And I understand it's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster over there the last couple of years with Jimbo and year one with Willie Taggart. But when's the last time at FSU there really was a concern with a pass rush defensive end? I'm going to look at that next. Kane Doe's a name. Robinson's a name. They got some younger guys. But I can't remember the last time in the month of May. I mean, quarterback, offensive line, stuff like that. Sure, sure, sure. But a pass rush end? Really lacking, at least in my opinion right now, with that guy over in God's country. I'll spend a couple of minutes on that as we continue right here on 1010XL in 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think one mistake that sports fans make is their reaction is based on what just happened. A prime example of that is this year's Final Four in college football. The stupidity of so many people who tweeted out and talked about how we should never move to 8 teams or 16 teams in the world of a college football playoff because of what happened this year during the semifinals. Blowouts. Clemson and Bama, truly the two best teams. And they've been in the national title now for the last several years. We know that. Obviously, they forgot about the semifinal 2 years ago between Oklahoma and Georgia, one of the greatest football games I've ever seen. It is an interesting situation right now. College football is being dominated by Clemson and Alabama. But for football fans to categorize a Final Four and not look at enhancing the sport to 8 and 16 because of the current dominance of these two football teams is beyond foolish. And I talked about it when it happened in, January. But I saw a lot of movement today. The Orange Bowl is, being moved back now to primetime. It's going to be on December 30th. I guess it used to be on New Year's Day. Honestly, there's been so many changes with these bowls. These bowls games change about as quickly as a Kardashian will change a boyfriend. I know I go to that line quite a bit, but it works. I don't even know when these games are on anymore. It's all messed up. I mean, it is. I mean, if I was in a bar room right now and I had four or five gentlemen, I bet I could throw down $100 for every bowl game that you could mention last year and who played in it. You can't do it anymore. You can't do it. Who played in Atlanta last year? Who played in the Peach Bowl? Who played in Orlando this past year? Who played in the Orange Bowl this year? Do you know? I can remember Fiesta Bowls and Orange Bowls from the 80s and the 90s, all these games. I don't know for the life of me who played in any of these games. All we care about now are the two national title games, the semis and the national title. I don't even know who played here. Was it A&M and...
Yeah, it was A&M and NC State.
Okay. The bowl game right here in my backyard. I don't even know who plays here anymore. I mean, that's where we're at. You know about bowl games based on two things. Your school or if you bet on it. That's it. What do you got, 44 bowl games now? Something like that? 88 teams playing in bowl games? And I'm fine with the bowl. The more the better. College football is the only sport in the planet that you can have 44 teams going home victorious. We just had a college basketball tournament where every team lost. 67 of the 68 teams lost. It's the most exciting tournament in the world. But 68 enter, 67 go home a loser. College football world, you have 44 bowl games. That means 44 teams go into the offseason. Used to be a huge deal in recruiting before the early signing period. They go into their offseason program with a victory. Just talked about Dan Mullen in Florida. You think that victory didn't mean something to that program this year? Michigan had gotten them the last couple of years, and all of a sudden you knock off Florida State, you knock off Michigan, you win 10 games for the first time, long time? Absolutely, it sets the tone. But I just, you can't react overall on a sport based on how that year's playoff worked. It was so foolish to read those comments. Clemson's blowing him out. Alabama's, we should, oh yeah, and people want an 18 playoff. How stupid. Oh, okay. And I love when you hear, oh, an 8 seed's never going to beat a number one. You don't know that. It happens in basketball all the time. I understand basketball is a different sport than football. But they change all these games around and bowls around. And it's like, you know what? You could have just, I wasn't even aware of it. That's how sad it is, the great sport of college football. You know what college football is right now? It's half pregnant. That's what it is. College football's half pregnant. They keep tinkering with it, but they won't fix it. Change it all. 16-team playoff, tie in the bowls, get down the Final Four in a national title game. That's how you fix the. That's how you make the game that much more attractive. Instead, it makes way, way, way too much sense, and college football is going to leave it the way that it is, and it's just not working. Attendance is down, okay? Ratings are down. These bowl games, people, they don't travel. It doesn't mean anything like it used to. It doesn't. The people who really watch these bowl games are watching it because they went to school there, it is their school, or they're gambling on the game. It's sad, but it's the truth. It just doesn't mean as much now as it used to. Outside of the Final Four. We'll make it bigger. Make those 16 teams and those 8 games mean something. There'll be upsets. There absolutely will be upsets. Be a better product. All right, Florida State loses Xavier Peters. I hate this. It's a big blow. Wants to be close to his child back in Ohio. He had been suspended. I can't remember the last time I was going into a year, and it's only mid-May now, but I really had major concerns about who is going to get to the quarterback for Florida State. Kando will be the guy who will receive all the press. That's Josh Kando. He had 3 sacks a year ago. And honestly, he didn't really show me a lot. Now, Brian Burns is gone. But he just seemed like he was a guy to me during his sophomore year. Hopefully he gets better as a junior. But he really didn't flash. You know, this is a 4th-year junior season now for Janarius Robinson. There's another guy that, you know, you're still waiting. He's got the body. He's got the look. He has the pub. He's got 1 career sack. I mean, you're talking about your edge with 4 career sacks. This is Florida State. And I think that we've kind of dismissed this because of all the attention on Willie Taggart and all the attention on the offensive line, which apparently made some strides this spring. And you know who your quarterback is and Blackman, and you know that you have an incredible stable of wide receivers and backs. You got filthy talent there. But it always seems like, oh, yeah, the defense will be okay. The defense was victimized by the fact that the offense couldn't stay on the field. They were turning the ball over too many times. Well, you just look like that Miami game, for instance. The defense caved in the 4th quarter, caved in the 2nd half. Where's the pass rush coming from at FSU? You know, to me, the linebacking core the last two or three years at FSU has been as bad as perhaps I've ever seen. You want to believe that that's getting better this year. As long as they keep the Kalen Brooks off the field, for crying out loud, I have more speed than he does. And I think the safeties and the corners will be fine. And I think inside they're good, even though they lost Christmas. I mean, they got some good football players inside. This Cooper kid's enormous. Marvin Thomas, they got depth there. Durden, they got plenty of bodies. I'm concerned about a pass rush. And the reason why I raised it tonight is since 1992, when I started covering this team, I don't think once in my life I have ever openly been worried about that element of Florida State football. They have always had ample guys who can get to the quarterback. I mean, NFL players in waiting. Who's it going to be? Dennis Briggs, Malcolm Lamar, Jamarcus Chapman, any one of these incoming freshmen? Boy, four career sacks. Off the edge. That's just frightening. That's something to take a look at when you get into the evaluation process of what you think is going to happen this year. Yeah, I think the Florida State offense absolutely is going to improve. Especially if they can block. But I wonder about getting to these quarterbacks in the Atlantic Coast Conference. You know, we'll see. Odell Hagan's full responsibility now. We'll see what happens on that defensive line. And if any of these kids can get after it. I mean, listen, the pub is there for Robinson and Kane, though. It's not like these are two walk-ons or a couple of two-stars. These are highly decorated football players. And the youngsters that I mentioned as well are all four stars. Okay? They are considered very good. But if there was ever a potential put on a group at Florida State right now, it is the pass rush ends. They need one or two of these kids to step up. And that's why the loss of Xavier Peters to me is a big blow. I'm not going to act like a lot of Gators that I work with. It doesn't matter if you're Cam Newton and you leave the Gator stable. I've worked with, oh, we didn't need him. Well, we didn't. I mean, no matter who, I'm not going to play that role. This is a big blow for FSU. If you're an old fan, you should be pissed off about this. Although I understand why he's leaving. He wants to be next to his son. His son is in Ohio. You know, that's a family-related reason. I get that. But it does hurt them on the field, at least right now when it comes to getting to the quarterback. All right, that's going to do it for us. Get ready for Denny and James. They're coming up right now. They'll take you up until 11 o'clock right here on this Monday night.
Now, the two-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with everything except leftovers. Order your office private event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, James Coleman is here. Big blow today out of FSU, in my opinion.
Yeah, very much so. With all of these stories, with my man Peters, with Steele, it's always a lot more to the story, but I like the way Peters did it. You can't really come at a guy who says he left. I mean, I've been there before. I understand it. But the only thing that I would suggest, you know, I wish he would have, you know, thought with the end in mind. And we probably could have – they could have probably figured out a way to get the kid down that way if she would have been – if the girl would have been willing to come. Mm-hmm. But you barely see anybody when you're playing. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, from 6 a.m., to 9 p.m., especially your first couple years. And, and he had academic issues as well. So, like, he would have probably been one of those guys who would have been up on campus a lot. But, I mean, you can't ever fault somebody at this juncture who is trying to go spend more time with their kid. Where I would be really skeptical is to see where he'll get a chance. Now, if he goes to Kentucky, that's not that far from where he grew up at. But it's not a lot of options that are as big as Florida State in that area.
No.
And, I mean, it's not like he's transferring into Ohio State. Nope. Then you got Akron, you've got Toledo, Ohio. You got a lot of other smaller schools, but he had a very high ceiling. He played very angry. But like I said, a lot of people were asking me what the real story was, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to leave it at he wants to spend time with his kid.
He's the guy that I was high on. He was the guy that I really thought that could be highly involved. I was just talking about it a little bit. Kando, 3 sacks. Robinson, 1 sack. You got 4 returning sacks off the edge.
Well, the one thing I want to tell Florida State fans, remember Brian Burns had a lot of production when DeMarcus Walker was there. Then his sophomore year, he didn't have much.
True.
Then he emerged. So let's see who will take that next step. Out of some of these young guys, there is some speed. One of these freshmen coming in, Fan, is the second leg on his 4x100 meter team in his high school. That second leg is typically your fastest leg. I mean, he might not have been, but we know a big guy that's running like that is pretty good. Plus, a lot of these linebackers that they've got, you can create pressure off the edge, and I think the interior, especially last season, toward the end is really where they got with Durden, Cooper, and Marvin Wilson. But there's some things in Tallahassee that they got to clean up. Everybody was loving what was going on with Florida last week, but I always joke and say, in the midst of trolling, you got to make sure you sweep your own porch before you go pick on other people's porches.
Yeah, I agree. The 3 they got there at tackle should be very good.
Yeah, so if you can push the middle, you can make your edge players that much better. But I think Florida State's made so many gains in the linebacker core and in the secondary that it may help.
They should be better at linebacker this year. That dropped off a little bit.
Did you see the young man from Savannah?
No.
His name escapes me right now. I talk to his dad often, but he he was the anchor leg on a 4x1 state champion.
Oh, the guy they brought in last year.
Well, no, Kalen DeLoach, who was in the 2019 class. So
yes,
you've got
some
linebackers that are big, physical, and that can run. So some aspects of the defense will look like the Florida State of old. But again, at the end of the day, this is all speculation. They got to be able to produce, and hopefully, if that offense can put pressure on by scoring and on other offenses, that actually puts the defense in a much better position.
All right, James. Coming up right now, James Coleman and Denny Thompson. That'll do it. Thank you to Matt LaVey, our producer. We push it back on Tuesday night. The ladies of Helmets and Heels will be with you from 6 until 8. Therefore, Rick Ballew, 8 to 10. And then, of course, the Sports Den from 10 until midnight. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now, a lifetime powertrain warranty is good if you buy a brand new vehicle from them. May is also Military Appreciation Month. Outstanding deals right now at Key, located right across the street from Tinseltown. They are on South Side and Gate. Remember, you buy a brand new vehicle from Key Buick or Key GMC, you get a lifetime powertrain warranty. That is the only dealership in Jacksonville that offers that. Folks, have a great night. We're back tomorrow night, 8 to 10, and then the rest of the week from 7 to 9 here with Rick Ballew.